Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, does an abandoned hotel in a small New Mexico town hold ghosts of former guests with a message for the living? A family member rescues her young nieces from a seemingly peaceful interaction with two children by a riverbank. But just who were the children they were playing with? A caller shares her account of an interaction with a shadow person that made it difficult for her to take a breath. Could it have been a guardian angel? And what was hidden beneath the cement of a family's new home? And what did it want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. And quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also email your story to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com if you want to record the audio file and send it to us that way. Carol Hughes joining us today for the co-hosting duties. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you for letting me.
Welcome. Glad you could join us again for some ghost stories. What do you think of the new intro?
I love it.
Isn't it creepy?
Like, that's really awesome.
It's really creepy.
It's good, because it's really well done.
Yeah, it's a gentleman, and I talked about him on the last episode, who does this for basically a living, and he does a lot of the theme park stuff. Rick McKee is his name, and rickmckeemusic.com is his website, but I was blown away with his work. It totally, everything I said I wanted in it, I got it, and it's the equivalency to, and you would get this, of getting a new jingle package.
That you like.
Exactly.
That's the key.
Because there's been plenty of those days in radio where it's like, oh, we're getting new jingles, and you get them and you're like, I think the honor choir could have done a better job at the high school if we gave them a little something. But so it was a very much a radio dork moment when I got that in. I was just like, yes, this is awesome. And I'm playing with it off the air and talking up it. And then everyone in the family's like looking at me like, okay, Dad, it's time to eat dinner now.
So. And the thing is, I get you, because I would be that kind of excited too.
Exactly. There's just certain things that radio people get when it comes to this sort of stuff. And that's one of them. Jingles and a good voiceover thing and all that. So
it's magical.
Exactly. It is magical. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the program. Got some calls today. We got some letters to go through. I think we'll jump right in actually with a letter first. And starts out, good evening. So I'm really new to the show, but I'm excited that I'm able to share this story. It has three parts that add up to one very interesting tale, and I would love to hear your opinions on it. I'm from a small town in New Mexico. It was an old mining town that once thrived in uranium. Growing up, there was an Econo Lodge that my older brother and I used to sneak into the pool, coldest water in town, perfect for a hot day. The hotel was in the shape of a U, and the pool was right in the middle. On the first two floors, they were open. The third of the top floor was shut down, from my parents' claim, because of a murder. It sounds far-fetched until you see a bullet hole in the door on the second floor. I swear sometimes, while I was swimming, I would look up to the third floor and see someone watching us. The hotel shut down in 2006, which brings us to the first part. My best friend and I were heavy into the paranormal, even going so far as to make our own Ouija board to get a thrill. With the hotel being abandoned and run down, and remembering the old stories, we thought a perfect opportunity to investigate. We wait until midnight, even meeting up with a few classmates to join in. We get in, we start to explore, eagerly rushing to the haunted third floor. Nothing was out of the norm for the most part, until we were taking an EVP at the intersection of the hallways. We had a clear sight down two of the three hallways, and down the north hallway there's a shadow of a little girl peeking out from a room in the dead center of the hallway. A dark hallway, and it's a clear figure. You could even make out the thick curls of her hair. I would swear I was imagining her, if it wasn't for the three others seeing her at the exact same time. being a group of teenagers who make a run for the exit, and shortly after that, the building was demolished. A few years after, I was living with an old coworker of my mother's. She moved to the city, and my dad had just passed away. Me and my roommate were having a few drinks and got on the subject of ghost stories. He goes first and tells me a story of when he was a bartender at that very hotel. And it was illegal as that very hotel where I'd seen the girl. He goes and says he was preparing to open for the night, his back turned to the bar, and he hears a little girl from behind her say, "Hey, mister, can I have a soda?" The bar wasn't open, so he tells her she had to go find her parents. They were closed. He turns around to find no one there but the bar stool spinning around and around. I got goosebumps hearing it. We weren't the only ones to encounter her. A few months after that, I'm getting ready to move to the city with my mom. I'm hanging out with my friends for the last time, and one friend tells a story about an old friend of his. The friend was homeless for a time and just happened to be walking by the house. I recognized him, so I stopped him to have a chat. We talked for a while, and he said his family was staying at the old abandoned Econo Lodge. When I asked what he was going to do because the demolition was coming, the answer was bone-chilling. Me and my little sister are going to go to Texas. She has family out there. The friend telling the story looks at me and says, "Chris, I've known him most of my life. He's an only child." A week later, he gets a call that the guy who went to Texas had jumped from the bridge, killing himself. And I would swear on anything it was the little girl with him. Love the show, you guys. Once again, I'd like to say thank you for letting me share my story, and I hope to share a few more with you guys. Nothing like an abandoned Econo Lodge.
Even a not abandoned Econo Lodge can be kind of scary. Yeah,
it really just kind of depends, you know. Sometimes they're lovely. Sometimes it's like, maybe if this was abandoned, it would be a safer environment. but just the setting and just the concept of this little girl wandering the halls of the Econo Lodge, very unsettling. And you know.
Yeah. Because it's unsettling, once again, because it's a child ghost, and that always unsettles me. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she's stuck in an Econo Lodge.
Would it be better if it was like a Days Inn or a La Quinta or something? Is it the Econo Lodge that makes it that much more scary?
Hyatt's, I think, Hyatt, would be better.
Hyatt, sure.
A Hilton.
Sure. Those tend to be different Econo type of Lodge, ghosts. Yeah. Have you ever explored, do you have any interest in exploring abandoned-ish buildings, whether it be an Econo Lodge or whatever it is?
None at all.
None?
None. And maybe if I saw the building, and I don't have a bad feeling about it, but if I have that feeling, mm-hmm. No way would I walk in it.
No.
Just maybe during the daytime hours.
I did once. I love the idea. I'm always too chicken. I'm too afraid that I'm gonna get arrested is my fear, because I'm not afraid of the ghost if there is anything. I'm afraid of someone seeing somebody in an area where they shouldn't be and then trespassing and all that. But I did get permission once to go and explore an abandoned school. In fact, it was the school that was up in the Park City area of Kansas. It was an old elementary school that they tore down about 6-7 years ago, and I knew that they were getting ready to completely demolish it, and I looked up who actually owned the property, and I said, "Hey, can I go in and just take some pictures? I just like taking pictures of old buildings and stuff." And he's like, "Yeah, sure, just tell the crew that's working on tearing it down to give you a hard hat, because they'll probably be demolishing it the same time you're in there." And I literally was in there as one half of the building is being torn down. I was in the other half. And this is, I have tons of creepy pictures because it was.
I remember when you did that.
Yeah, an old elementary school, which actually was also the same elementary school that BTK, the BTK killer, went to school at as a child. That's what I was always told about that school. I'm like, well, that just kind of adds to an element of creepiness.
And the pictures that you got were really creepy from that.
Mm-hmm. And I've used them.
Because I remember thinking you were crazy for even going in after I saw the pictures.
It was really interesting. I mean, there was just the big old the speakers, that you would hear the morning announcements on, just laying on the floor and chalkboards still up and all sorts of things written on them. It was just so bizarre because when they, I guess, you tear down a building like that, like a school, I guess you assume they take a lot of things out of the school before they do the demolition. But in this case, there really was a lot of the elements of a school in there. Lots of desks still in there. All the chalkboards still up. Remember going through the kitchen and the balance beams. You know, like in gym class where they had like the carpeted balance beam. Just because to make no distinction that you're doing the balance beam on a hard concrete floor, but let's carpet the beam itself because that will
Because that's really going to help a lot.
That's the part that we're concerned of is the 1-inch beam, not the concrete floor. But those were in there, and you just think of all the memories and all the kids that have passed through there. And I'm just thinking, I'm the last person that's going to see this before this wrecking ball hits this later in the afternoon. And it's just kind of eerie and weird. And I got no ghostly vibes or anything out of the place. I think it was just more so bizarre, just kind of being in a setting like that. And I'd love to go to one every day if I could find one. But
well, I think that creepy Econo Lodge, like, I couldn't go in there.
No, there's something about hotels, and I don't know what it is. If it's, you know, just so many people kind of come and go, you can have high emotions in a hotel. You know, why are you staying there? You know, is it a tough time? It could be good. It could be bad. There's so many things.
And why does the little girl end up there? You know, that's a story I would like to know.
Of all places, why back at the Econo Lodge? I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good question to ask. Let's go to another letter here before we get to some of the calls today. To say I had this thought the other day that we may intentionally forget things that sound so impossible that we force ourselves not to believe that it actually happened. It sounds so simple because I remember sometime around the age of 5 or 6 when I found a turtle that made some funny sounding barking noises one day in my grandparents' backyard, but I never found it again, and it was the first time I saw an actual turtle in real life. It sort of felt like a dream until I talked to my cousins who remembered it. I didn't even mention the barking sound it made, just to be sure, and that verified it really happened when they too said it barked. I noticed that in several of the stories, some of us came across moments of deja vu, like we know that we saw or experienced something, but we basically assume it's got to be our imagination because it doesn't make logical sense to us. I believe it's the first step into maybe being sensitive, which is so much easier when you're a child because kids are open to things like some shoes making you run faster, or if you see a shooting star, you got to make a wish, things of that nature. When we have similar stories, it's like, I knew it. I saw the same thing and nobody believed me. It gets through when I try to share stories with friends because they often interrupt you if you're telling them anything that doesn't sound normal. Tony had mentioned years ago that there's a static phenomena in headphones where in cases you can hear something in them unplugged, but before I could elaborate, my friend cuts me off with a snarky way and says, sounds like he should see a therapist. It just bugs me at times when I bring up anything and get told I've been in the sun too long or it's a sign of a brain tumor. I've been open to things since going through some junk mail and found those have you seen me missing person ads. It was fun and I found a ton of doppelgangers on them. Otherwise, I had a strange thing happen to me when I was young, much like the story of the turtle I found. I'd always be playing outside, sometimes finding a cool bug to put in the jar and show everyone. I was over at my aunt's place when this happened, which she lived in a trailer park, so that alone was interesting, and she let me play outside. I found a park not too far, your typical swings and slides, but since I couldn't remember the number of her trailer, I just stayed at the park and figured she would find me there or yell for me when it was time for dinner. Off on the side of the park was some type of creek where two girls were playing, and I figured it'd be cool to try and make new friends. The first thing I noticed was they were barefoot. They almost looked homeless, but I was lonely, so I went to greet them. They had a really thick accent, the typical hillbilly type, but I found it amusing that they said I sounded funny. I think I was about 7 at the time, but these girls were slightly older, and they looked like twins. They were showing me how to make a bracelet with flowers, tying the stems together while they asked my name, but I actually had a shirt with my name on it. I pointed at my shirt and they said, "We don't know any reading." It struck me as odd again, but I told them it's Christina. But I think the reading thing offended them and they never told me their names. They asked if I had any swim clothes to go in the creek with them, but I didn't pack any clothes with me and I didn't even expect to spend the night there. I just insisted that we played in the park instead, but they didn't seem interested. I thought to myself that these kids were lame, but I still didn't want to be rude, so I asked them what they felt like doing. Then I heard my aunt yelling my name and the girls just turned around, then skipped away along the side of the creek like they were having fun. I turned to see my aunt running full sprint, and she picked me up before I could even say anything. I was terrified. I thought she was going to punish me for whatever it is I did. But by the time she carried me to her trailer, I just sort of was crying. She didn't get mad. She made me look at her in the eyes and said, "This didn't happen. You hear me? This didn't happen. You were home the entire time." I just nodded my head. I didn't know what was going on. She drove me to my grandparents' house that night. She just seemed to be startled and put the radio on loud the entire ride. I didn't even find out anything about this until I attended my grandpa's funeral. I was around 20 by then, so I figured it was worth asking. She was sort of amazed that I remember it, but she said people would drown in that creek all the time. I asked her about those hillbilly girls, if they were her neighbors, because they were really odd, and asked me if I wanted to swim in the creek with them. She didn't recall any girls near my age or kids that ran around with no shoes on because none of the roads were paved properly with rocks and broken glass all over. The only kid remotely my age living there was a boy whose parents never let him play outside unsupervised. She told me I was alone by the creek when she saw me, which was impossible because if she could see me clearly, she must have seen the other girls because by the time they skipped away, she was right next to me. It seems strange, but it makes me wonder if those girls were the reason for all those people drowning in that creek. I've had a few more thoughts with the way they were dressed and that they couldn't read, if these girls were even from the same time period. Thank you for reading. It was one of those strange events in my life that made me question things. Oh, never get your kids a shirt with their name on it. That is so dangerous when a total stranger can pretend they know them, and who knows who will do that. Take care. Your show is still as wonderful as ever. Thoughts?
You know, I don't know. Like, he said he definitely saw the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the aunt didn't. And I really, really, really think that kids are really open to that.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about that before, that I just think kids don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. Like, where you and I have kind of trained ourselves not to be open to that stuff. And with a kid, he just sees other kids.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's the most innocent sort of, how do you say that's not right? He knows what he saw.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where as a child, it didn't even stand out as it was anything paranormal. It was just, I was playing with those kids. It was one of those facts of the situation. And then to discover, wait a second. And then some of the clues that pertain to the situation really do make a lot of sense where, oh, wait a second, they would be wearing shoes. And there's probably at that point in time, nobody really traveling from far distances down this creek. That it points to probably the girls are from a different time. They were probably deceased. I'm almost wondering if the girls had drowned in the creek, because there was a mention of that, if they were some of the people who had drowned there and now they're still hanging out playing.
Yeah. But if they drown there, like, it doesn't seem like they'd be happily skipping along.
Although, you know, that you get that very often where it's not that they're sitting there having to recreate their deaths. They're back. And they're just there playing as they normally would. And who knows how they drowned, or it might have just been swimming, you know, then you get your leg caught on something or whatnot. Maybe nothing even nefarious. But, you know, I'm just wondering why they were there. Or if they were, with the writer saying, if they were the reason that their heart had been so many drownings there, you know, trying to invite him into the water, if that is something where other people get lured in and then, you know, death becomes.
And you know,
them.
At first I thought the story was going to go a different way because the aunt goes down there and says, "This didn't happen. This didn't happen." And I'm like, "Oh, it's like she knows the ghosts are down there," mm-hmm. and she just didn't want him close to the water.
Yeah, she just didn't want to get caught for being neglectful in watching. But I was thinking the same thing. I thought it was going to be, no, there's the ghost girls, and when you interact with them, you get cursed or, you know, something along those lines.
But, and I tell you, sometime you'll have to have my sister back on.
Yeah.
Because when my nephew was little, my dad had died. So it was 25 years ago. And my dad had died. And Chris was 5, 6 in there. Mm-hmm. And after my dad died, he kept seeing my dad. And he would say, and he kind of, funny thing, but my nephew called my dad Bozo. Long story. But he'd go, Bozo's here, or Bozo said to tell you this, or Bozo this. And he talked to my dad for the, I don't know, a couple months, maybe after my dad died. And I sure didn't see my dad.
And how? He,
it was as if, you know, like we went to the cemetery to have a really small little service. And this was several months after he had passed because we're all kind of spread out all over the country. And so it's a horrible day. And we're sitting in the car. And my dad used to reach behind my head. And he'd kind of scratch the back of my neck. I was sitting there and I felt something like that. And right then Chris goes, Bozo's here. I'm like, whoa. And it was at the same time. And we were sitting there waiting to bury my dad. And so I know he could see him. Like, I have no doubt.
And he was aware that he had died, right? So, I mean, mm-hmm.
He was there.
So the concept that he's back as a ghost. I mean, what did you ask about that? Like, well, you know, he passed away. He couldn't be here or how was that?
Yeah.
Addressed?
And let's get my sister on sometime to talk about that because, that's kind of like, do you want to dismiss the child mm-hmm. and you're not seeing what you're seeing, then make the poor kid think he's crazy?
Sure.
You know, there's that fine line.
There is.
And at the same time, we just lost our dad and there was some kind of comforting things that he would say.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it. I would just let it go just like you did, just to kind of, you know.
Yeah, because eventually it quit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just this. And I do know my sister did, you know that he's gone.
Yeah.
And Chris would be like, yeah, but I talked to him.
And
you know,
it's one of those things when you're a kid, it as adults, you know, even as if you were an older kid, you would know that is not something that normally happens. But when you're younger, it's just like
that young.
Yeah. Anything's a possibility.
The concept of death is kind of weird.
Yeah. It's almost like anything's a possibility. Very, we'll have to have her back on to share that story sometime.
Mm-hmm.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's jump over to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Maddie from Ohio. And I have the story of this one house. So my husband and I got married and we were living in a duplex. And we had one child. Well, I had gotten pregnant again, and I told him we could no longer live in a duplex. We had to get a home, so we decided to rent a home. When I first walked into this house, it had an off feeling, but I was just so excited that we were able to find a home that we could afford. And it was in a nice neighborhood, and it was right off the lake. And we took it. So we moved in, and the very first couple nights, it was okay. You know, we were just like living off the high of, you know, getting our first real house, and we were super excited. A couple days, maybe a week later, I had company over, and I went into the kitchen, and my company sat down at the kitchen table. And I went in the kitchen cupboard to get him a glass, to pour him a drink. And the glass came to my hand. He saw this. And I was like, God, there's got to be a rational explanation. He's like, that was crazy. I'm like, oh, these cupboards are old. You know, they must be crooked or uneven, whatever. So I checked the glass to make sure it wasn't wet, thinking, okay, this slid to me because the glass was wet, or maybe the cupboard was wet from me cleaning it, you know, earlier in the day, whatever. But everything was dry. My company left. And then I went down to the basement. I told my husband about it, and he said, I don't want to hear about it. So I said, okay. So I went to the basement, and I got the level, that thing that you make sure stuff's even. I went as far as to make sure that the cupboards were leveled, and it was. Whatever. A couple days or weeks move on, I don't remember, but I just remember from the very beginning, our 2-year-old daughter would not sleep. And this was a girl a child who always slept in her room, never gave a problem. She was on a schedule, and she would scream and holler, and she was scared in that room. And she said, bad, 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 bad. And I'm thinking, okay, baby, you can come sleep with us. You know, new home, she's two, whatever. We had already had my son when we moved in. He was like 3 weeks old. This child would cry all night. And he was just not a happy baby. And it wasn't colic. He just, when he was in any other, when he was downstairs, he was fine. He would sleep peacefully downstairs. But upstairs, where the bedrooms were, he just did not like it. So, another thing about this home is the basement. It was an older home, maybe built like in 1940. But the basement, all around the perimeter, had these dirt mounds that were like, some of them were cement, some of them, the cement had broken over the years, chipped away. It was just basically cement poured over mounds of dirt and around the entire exterior of the basement, outside walls. I had asked the landlord about them and if they served any sort of use. You know, they were rounded like mounds. You know, you couldn't put anything on them. And if you did, it would have to be small. Her and her husband claimed that they didn't know what the mounds were. The mounds were there since they purchased a home, you know, 20 years ago. So whatever, but I always had an uneasy feeling in the basement. Our pit bull, who was completely fearless, did not like the basement. So anyways, we were in that house, and my daughter would, you know, tell me bad man, scary. She would just tell me all sorts of different things. She never said man. She just said bad. You know, her speech was limited at that point. So one night, I'm sleeping in the room, and it's myself. My daughter is between my husband and I. And I woke up, and there was a figure. There was something in the doorway of the room. And this thing, I was having sleep paralysis. My very first time with sleep paralysis. I could not move. I had an immense fear. But the feeling, this thing wasn't like speaking to me, but it was speaking to me like in my head. This thing was telling me that it wanted to do, you know, something bad, something sexual to my daughter. And I'm praying, and I remember thinking and praying, no, don't do anything to the baby, to my daughter. Do whatever you need to do to me. Do bad things to me. And I was so scared, and I was trying to pray, and I couldn't pray. I just, the words wouldn't come out, and that scared me more, because I'm thinking, I know the Our Father, I'm Catholic, and I couldn't remember the words to this prayer. And I remember trying to scream, and it was just the most terrifying experience of my life. Eventually, I snapped out of it. And at that time, the baby woke up screaming, and my daughter slept through it all. The house also had a fireplace downstairs, and I was taking down the Christmas decorations, and one of the bricks fell out of the fireplace. And in that brick, it was a hole, like a hiding spot, and there were about three rosaries in there. And a palm from like a Palm Sunday from the Catholic Church that was shaped into a crucifix and the three rosaries, and they were shoved in there hidden. Anyways, just the bad stuff and the bad feelings and just the uneasiness in the home and the negative energy. I'm very empathic. I can feel it. I could not stay there any longer. And I spoke to my landlord, and I was expecting her to be upset and not return my deposit. And I said, I cannot live here. I can't explain why. It's just not the right house for us. I didn't want to like mention that I thought the house was haunted. I didn't want her to think I was crazy and really not return my deposit. And she looked and said, I'm surprised you stayed as long as you did. And I looked to her and I said, is there something about this house that you have to tell me? And she said, can you tell it's haunted? And at that moment, I was pissed. Why would you rent a house that you knew was haunted to a family with two small children? Needless to say, she gave me my deposit back, no questions asked. And that was it. We parted ways. So I've had a lot of experiences. I'll call back at some other time. But I hope you enjoyed the story. You guys are great. Have a nice day.
There you go.
That was creepy. Creepy.
When you are a landlord and let's say you know your property is haunted, let's say you know you have ghosts, do you be picky about who you rent out to? Do you ever disclose that you are, you know, you maybe, you know, it may be haunted, or do you just kind of, you know, go with the flow because it's your property that you need to rent out?
I don't know. That's tough because like you're going to sound crazy to some people. The house is haunted and they're like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who would want to live there because it's haunted.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them, but I know people like that. But I think that you should, and because she made a really good point. Why would you do that knowing there's two small children living in that house?
Sure.
And especially if she knew it was haunted, she had to have known it was not just haunted, but by a total creepy haunted guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a creepy, creepy, perverted ghost.
Yeah. And if you're aware of that, I mean, even if you don't want to bring up the ghost conversation, you could say something like, hey, you know what? This is not the best, you know, place for little. I mean, you could make something up. You're like, yeah, there's lead paint or there, you know, like there's something, you know, something that would just be like, yeah, you know, I'd love to rent to you, but I wouldn't feel good about it with this feature of the house or something like that. Not necessarily having to bring up the ghost angle of it because you don't know how that's going to be taken.
She probably has a hard time renting it though too, because she probably goes through a lot of tenants.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody says they want to rent it, she probably just jumps all over that.
Yeah.
And then like, I'll deal with it later. Maybe they won't pick up on it.
Mm-hmm. And that could probably happen in some situations, just depending.
She does have a mortgage payment to make more than likely.
Yeah, exactly. So it really probably just depends on the situation, but I think you just have to be, you know, if you have any sort of character at all, if you got kids going in there and you know that it's some sort of vicious, horrible pedophile ghost. Yeah, it's no, please don't rent. I'll find someone else, you know.
But I love this woman, how logical she was, because when the glass thing moved, she went and got a level to check the cupboards.
That's good.
I love her.
I give total credit for that because more people should try. That's what you should do if you have something weird happen.
Try to debunk it immediately.
And you should. Like that. Just in case, because there's a lot of...
My husband did not want to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of logical things that can explain some things. Some things clearly not at all, but it's good to at least go down that road for a moment or two when you're having
I would like to hear some of her other stories because she said she's got quite a few.
I would too. Yeah, I would love for her to call back in and share more of those stories with us on another episode. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up to do that on our website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. Get access to all of the EPP bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and so much more. That's what keeps this thing on the air, ghostpodcast.com. Go there. Check it out. Thank you, Carol, for joining us on the program today. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Hey, tell Jen I said hi.
I will.
Okay.
All right. Until next time, thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.